Hey, and welcome to And Just Like What? A Sex and the City Rewind podcast.
Where Sex and the City superfans, super freaks, tell the truth and nothing but the truth about the show that made us who we are today. My name is Ricky.
My name is super freaky, Meredith.
And we're your co-hosts. And what we're really doing is biding time until And Just Like That starts up again. And we're going back into the archives.
Yeah, we're using the time in between really well by rewatching Sex and the City for the 100 millionth time.
100 millionth time, and it's getting better. Okay, like this episode. So last episode we panned. We were not impressed, especially since Vulture.
It was ranked so high,
and it really offended us. I think this episode was better than last
You're going to be offended again.
Oh, God.
You're going to be offended.
I think I'm just offended at everything these days, especially given my elderly state. Exactly. You get into this stage of constant offense.
Right? I know. And I think there's actually some physiological reason behind it, because your brain is not fixed until sometimes as late as like 28, 30. And then once your brain is, it's still shifting, right? And then after that point, you just lose brain cells.
My God. You are a doctor, basically, because you're now telling me medical advice on every episode.
I did an article about like neuroscience.
You really did send me that article. So just to clear up, I did kind of like question if you were, but there was an article about that.
Yes. I learned so much about neuroplasticity, and then actually your brain is still forming sometimes to up until 28, 29, 30.
And then it's all downhill from there.
And then it's all downhill.
Is that why at that age, or no, you know how like certain people lock themselves in at a certain age? Like it was the best year of your life. And then you're always trying to recapture that feeling mentally.
Oh, everybody has a set. Yeah. Everyone has a set age, right? And it's usually in their 20s. That's probably why. It probably has to do with that.
It's when you peaked. You truly peaked at that age. And then, yeah.
It's just pruning from here on in.
That's why I still have a mushroom cut. I think that's why I still like my hairstyle. I haven't changed my hairstyle in like so long, because it's just kind of like I peaked with this one hairstyle and it just gets thinner and thinner as years go by.
At what age did you have that mushroom cut?
Well, actually, mushroom cut at 16.
What is your set age? So your set age is 16?
No. I think the height of my power, age-wise, was 22 or 23. So I actually peaked a little earlier, and then my brain shut down around 25.
You were an early pruner.
I was an early pruner. What about you?
I think it's later. I think it's like between 26 and 28 for me.
Is that when you kind of graduated from J school and kind of like started
and I
really
felt
coming
like
into
less,
your own?
I felt more cohesive as a person.
Yeah.
You know? Like less kind of just like put some stuff out there.
Bah. No. Okay, I'm lying. I think I peaked like for a few things at that early age, but really when I really felt
like sexually.
When I peaked sexually at 13 to 14. And
you met Billy Bob in the hayloft
down by the creek crick.
The crick. I got a crick in my neck. Meet me at the crick.
I got a crick in my neck from meeting Billy Bob at the crick.
Worked out some tension.
In my 30s, I was in my 30s when I truly came, when I felt confident as a person and into my own. Yeah, it was in my 30s. I was a bit of a late bloomer in that way.
Yeah.
Like I didn't really, Like what would you say, Carrie? Carrie's a late bloomer. She's it's happening right now.
I know. I was going to say,
they're
I feel 35, like we're witnessing
36.
It.
That's me too. Yeah, that's what I did.
She's still so chaotic. So it's like,
she's chaotic, but it's starting like this power move that she did in this episode with Bill was a bit of a power move.
Yeah.
Talk about politics, right?
Yep. Unequivocally a power move. But isn't it funny how numb we are to outrageousness in politics, that this is like, this is so mild what Bill does. It's not even considering what we've lived through.
It's nothing.
With the It's nothing.
It's nothing with, like, the era of Trump. Like, there's nothing.
Exactly. Or even our political leaders. It's like, no.
Oh, yeah. Even the Canadian political leaders. No, like, yeah. There's... I remember watching this and thinking it's inconceivable that there would be a peace scandal in politics. Like, I never even imagined. It seems so far-fetched that this article would come out, like, an anonymous, like, you know, to pee or not to pee. But it's not. It is just not far-fetched now. Oh, my God. How times have changed.
We watched Politically Erect.
Yes.
Which is season 3, episode 2.
Yes.
So there's a very, very short synopsis.
Oh.
Would you like me to read it?
Yes. Short synopsis for the shorty in the episode, Shoddy.
Carrie shares her bed and his campaign for city treasurer with Bill Kelly for weeks, and Sam has a short lover.
That's it. Short and That's sweet.
It. That's it.
I love this little man. I love him.
I like him
I
too.
Love him.
So, I where him. Do you think it's ranked on?
You know, I have to be—I have to be realistic and know that it's not going to be as high as Where There's Smoke, because Where There's Smoke was the season kickoff, and it was kind of like a new attitude, and blah blah blah. So again, that was like 21.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but
Bullshit.
This was better to me, but I didn't think that was high anyway. I thought it should be about 40-ish, 35. Okay. So this would be maybe 30.
Okay.
It's low.
It's 66.
See, I think it's better, but I'll give it this. When I was writing my notes for the pod.
Yeah.
Didn't write much.
No, I didn't either. I commented on her outfits almost exclusively. I wasn't super engaged.
It wasn't very engaging, I have to admit, but I really liked the power politic, the sex and politics angle. I thought that was smart.
I liked it too. And I honestly liked the exchange. I thought Carrie handled the request really thoughtfully, actually surprisingly thoughtfully, considering that this came out in
2000 already. Okay, that's right. Yeah
And I really liked Samantha's exchange with her little shorty boardy, her little short fort.
Their restaurant exchange is just so well acted. It's lovely and it's sweet, and you didn't like Samantha can be unlikable in these situations sometimes, but even her seeing this, you know, Bloomingdale's short long boy section blazer that the shoddy was wearing, and she kind of like left. You could just feel her inner monologue. You could hear it, and you didn't judge her for it, because I could see it being very difficult to kind of wrap your head around with that power, with that sexual politics.
Yes,
the man is tall, dark, and handsome. You know, not short. Dark and hung.
Short, mini, dark and hung. Ew, it's kind of a weird combo, though, to be like short with a huge dick.
It's more common than you think. Have you been there? It's more common than you think. Or it's a scale thing that you're like, it just
seems
looks
bigger.
Big, but then it's very common, I have to say. And it's very disappointing.
Like
it's very common. It's 9 times out of 10. No, I'm kidding. Can you imagine if I knew the statistics? But it's also just as disconcerting to have like this like big guy and like little pencil dick. It's very weird too.
For sure.
It's
That's
a little
also
weird.
Weird.
Right? So, you know, you just never know what you're going to get under there. It doesn't have anything to do.
It's like a Kinder surprise.
It's a Kinder surprise. It's like a... I was going to say it's like a Tootsie Pop, but no, that's how many licks does it take to get to the center.
if it's a big guy and it's buried, it might be a lot of licks.
Oh, if it's inverted.
Who are you dating at 13?
Well, I've never had an inverted one.
No wonder you got a crick from Billy Bob down on the crick. It's 66, and Vulture says it's like it's a mostly silly episode, but it's firing on all cylinders.
Yeah,
and
it's
has
firing
a tight construction.
It is. It's firing on all cylinders. The writing's tight. The acting's tight. It's funny. It's got a concise message. It moves the plot forward, and I thought that Carrie did a great job in this. She played it.
She looks
brilliantly,
her
and she could. Okay,
fantastic.
She started the flower brooch craze. the silk flower brooch craze.
Oh, how many flower brooches did I have? I probably had 12 at one point.
I think she went on, tell me if I'm right, or listeners, tell me if I'm right or wrong. Did she not go on to do a collaboration with Gap with those brooches? Really? Like, she was like an artistic director or something for a collection or two, but this came a little later. And I think it was in the 2000s, like 2002 or three or something like that.
I could probably just Google that.
You could.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Gap. Collab or something.
Gap.
This is like riveting silence for everyone.
She did do a Gap thing. Yeah. She launches Gap collection. It was later though.
It was later.
It was like 2018.
No. There was one in the early 2000s.
It's a kidswear line. She launched a... she had a 2004. Sarah Jessica Parker and Gap's 2004 fall collection.
Yep. And that's... it was kind of like a greatest hits. Like, there was a tutu looks and like, like jean jackets with big brooches and...
Yeah.
And that type of thing. It was very fun.
She's so cute.
Faster fashion was a little more fun back in the early 2000s. Like Gap.
Oh, I shopped at Gap, like... all my outfits. I'd like matching sweater and
sweater sets. Those cashmere sweater sets they used to do.
Corduroy pant matching sets. It totally was ridiculous.
Well, you know, but it was so fun. Okay. Let's go through what's going. You know what I really like? Let's start with the fashion. Jackie Kennedy fashion, looks. Jackie Kennedy looks were good.
Yeah. She looks amazing. And she also has a good analogy that politics is like fashion. She doesn't say that. Like, I can't remember the lead in, but the line is it's like a metaphor. So like, politics is like fashion. And what she says is they're both about recycling shop-worn ideas and making them seem fresh and inspiring.
There you go.
Yeah.
And she raided the vintage stores for her Jackie looks, which is a kind of like that too. Like, it's a second go around.
She looks amazing.
Oh, I love with the big square. You know, she just, it's so well styled and it's lovely to see. And it's really lovely to see all the subtle 60s styling that they did on all of the cast for the party and like the big hair, the bouffants, the sunglasses, the sweater sets, the trench coats. Lovely.
Can you pick one favorite look?
Well, I loved Carrie styling all throughout, but my favorite look was actually not Carrie in this episode.
Whose?
It is Miranda when Miranda and Char and okay, there's a scene where Miranda and Steve are walking and he's talking about maybe making things a little bit more serious and then
exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exclusive. And then, and she's like, such an awkward reaction to him. She just can't, it's impossible for her to just she's go like, there right away. And a couple scenes later, Carrie and Miranda are walking and she's wearing this like ribbed turtleneck, mock neck turtleneck with like kind of green cargo pants and this like beautiful, like cashmere-esque like overcoat, Miranda.
Okay. It
could be right now. It looks like it could be right now made by The Row or like some like very fine, like Laura Piana. It's like very casual, but very elegant. I loved it because it was modern. It just looked timeless. I loved it.
Dude, do you know what it reminds me of in Succession? They have the quiet luxury lines.
It is quiet luxury. Laura Piana.
They're wearing ball caps, but it's like a $600 baseball cap.
Yes.
You know?
And it looks like
that's all Succession. Yeah, you wouldn't even notice it unless you knew. And you're like, oh my God, that's a $600 Italian.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, it's similar to that. So, but what's your favorite look then? There were so many on Carrie. I mean...
so many. My favorite, though, was at the fundraiser event, the cocktail party. She's wearing this rose-colored cocktail dress that has a square neckline.
Yes.
It's so beautiful. It's sleeveless. Like, it is, like, little skinny...
oh, yeah.
Like, kind of so skinny good. Straps. But it's beautiful. With like, a flower.
Yeah.
But the color is just chef's kiss. She looks so beautiful.
You know what
I also love her two-tone hair in this. It's very early balayage.
I was noticing that, too. What an expert... beautiful low lights they put in.
Yeah. I don't think it's low lights. I think that's her like natural color.
Natural color. And then they did just the high. Okay. Yeah. They worked with it really well. Well, beautiful job, whoever did that. Kudos to you. But I also really loved the very last look when she was with her little tank top and it had a little ribbon decal on her little rib tank top when she was typing at the very end. Very cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were you going to say? Yeah.
I was going to say, I think we've talked about this episode. Now we're ready to go. Bye. I do that joke every episode.
There's not that much. Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to think here what else has happened. Okay, well, so, the big thing, yeah.
So Charlotte wants to do a used date party?
Yeah, Charlotte gets this harebrained idea that this would be a fun thing to bring your... So she meets, well, it was, what's her name? Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth Banks is in this episode. She's almost unrecognizable. She's so young.
She's so young, but done up so old. Like, she looks so aged in her styling. It's so funny.
Exactly. She was probably 21 and she looks 30. She's like
30.
And, it's so weird.
And she's, she hears that this couple, her and her mate, met at this like secondhand date or used date party where you bring someone you're definitely not interested in to a party and then everyone mingles. In theory, a good idea, but in practice, so demeaning to everyone. Yeah. Like, can you imagine being asked to go to that?
Would you be offended? Like, if your ex is like, do you want to come to this party? You're my used goods. You'd have
to
be
in a really good place with your ex to go to something like that with them. Like, it just seems like, really vulnerable. Kind of. Very, very vulnerable and very supportive of an ex. It just seems strange to me. A little strange.
It seemed a little bit strange. Charlotte has that party.
It's never been done.
Yeah, that happens. Nothing really happens.
But in the meantime... is a very funny scene where Samantha really hits it off with, I don't know what the short man's name is. I can't remember.
Jeff.
And they're having this great exchange at the bar. And then he gets up to go and he's like,
how tall is he? Like 5'2"?
5'2", I would think. I find it very funny that Charlotte said her cutoff is 5 feet for a man.
That's what Charlotte
said. Charlotte said it was 5 feet. And I'm like, okay, that's not her cutoff. That's funny. Charlotte's cutoff is 6 feet. She wants tall and everything. Yeah, give me a break, Charlotte.
She's not 5 feet.
You think?
No, she's probably 5'4".
She's 5'4", exactly. But like, at so least. She's lying. Like 5 feet is not her cutoff.
Her cutoff is 5 feet. I didn't clock that. Yeah. That's weird.
So, and then... fast forward to this dumb party. Samantha brings Jeff and he finds out that she is trying to pawn him off on someone else. And she just doesn't want in on this relationship. And he's like, you know what? 1 hour in the sack. No, how does he talk? 1 hour in the sack and you're going to. What did he say? Whatever. And you'll be a convert. Like, and you'll be a convert. And she's like, okay, well, we'll try.
It's weird to me. I don't like it because it's like I don't like it.
Well, just like because having to prove yourself that way.
Well, and also that if Samantha's not interested in him, why do they have sex? You know, like even in the scene, he's like, he takes his shirt off. He's a very small man and he like goes like raspberries or boobs and she's like, oh, okay. But I'm like, really? Like, why are
it's like you mean, total like, boredom. It's weird. And then,
or like coercion.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. But
it's like a pity. I don't know. I don't like it.
And then he calls her a whore later on.
Then he calls her a whore later on, yeah.
So, okay. Maybe not the fairy tale romance.
But then they date for 2 weeks, which is like a long relationship for her. Which is
a hit for her. Okay, fast forward. Now we go to the campaign party.
So Carrie's still dating Bill, who from the previous, from episode one, Bill Kelly.
Who also would not take no for an answer.
Yeah. So Bill Kelly, it's funny because I guess they've been dating for 3 weeks, but every date she has with him, she just follows him around the city.
Can I say something too, that it really irks me when new couples, like they're too familiar and too like, why are you campaigning with this man? Why do you have inside jokes and like a real routine? Like at that party, they're kind of like, he's like, give me some of your drink. Oh, these people like, God, she doesn't know. What are you guys doing? You're acting like you've been together for 20 years.
I know. That's like a 3 year thing. You're that's on the campaign. That's a 3 year
thing. And that over familiarity in front of other friends, like your friends, I think it's a big red flag. I think it's so hard to be around. I hate that.
Yeah, I agree.
I actually really hate when couples have inside jokes in front of me. Fuck, stop it. But I don't need
you
to.
You and I have so many inside jokes.
We've never been with another person. We've never socialized outside of each other. Like, I swear to God, have we ever, even since the days we worked together, have we ever been in the presence of another person? Matt gets subjected to my inside jokes a lot because I think it's the funniest thing for him to be like totally lost. I think that people, right in front of him, I'm like, we're going to talk like
people found us annoying.
And like we, you know,
like
people,
like when we worked together, I think people found us annoying.
Weren't we separated?
Yeah, we weren't allowed to sit beside each other.
We were separated. We were also, like, there were a lot of, there were a lot of forces against
us. Adults.
We had more fun than anyone. I mean, we were beside, remember how fun it was when we were beside each other? It was just a constant bio. Chatter. It was a constant, like a
brain dump.
Brain dump.
Brain dump, power praise.
Power praise Oprah everything. Walk. And we would go for these. Okay, now it's inside jokes for our listeners, but is it really funny that we would always walk around our office pretending we were power walkers?
We've already told this on this podcast.
Have we? Okay, we would wave in sync like an old couple. Like,
and Jaylen would pretend that we didn't exist. You'd just be like, ugh.
And it was kind of like, you know, like a fiber commercial, like for getting vitality back into your step, yes. You know, and we would wave like, that's funny. That's comedy, Jaylen.
That's comedy. See, so that's why I call bullshit on that. You don't like inside jokes because you love inside jokes.
Oh, I love inside jokes. I don't like witnessing other people's inside jokes. I love my own. Meredith, I love my own inside jokes.
You just don't want anyone else to have them.
No, and I don't want to. They're never funny to other people. That's the problem. It's never funny to anyone else.
Yeah.
A special language or funny voices. It's just never good. So I don't like, I didn't like witnessing Carrie stooping to that level of, there were some things going on. I don't know.
I was just not on board and I don't think they had much chemistry. They don't have chemistry at all.
Oh my God. And
I thought Sam and Jeff Fenton, who she didn't even want to have sex with,
totally titillated by that because I was like, what does his dick look like?
Yeah, exactly. Because really his chest was so little.
It was just tight. A little cherub gymnast. Like a little Cupid.
Like a Cupid of age, not a baby Cupid.
Are Cupids really young? Why are they so interested in our love life?
Your Facebook's gonna be messed up after this, let me tell you what.
It was. So wait, this is good content. Meredith sent me a picture of one of the ads that she is targeted with.
Yeah.
And it was something else, let me tell you. It was someone's the biggest calves I've ever seen with like an obvious
an
problem.
Elderly
like
woman
edema. Pitted edema.
With edema. Who can get pictures of her dog silk screened on her compression socks.
Yes, it's like, I need compression socks, but make it fun.
Make it fun.
That's Meredith, right?
That's me. That's
like,
me in a nutshell.
Serious problems, but make it fun for
but
me.
But make it fun. And then what did you
that
get?
Day,
you got targeted.
I was getting targeted for like, could you enroll in this study to study schizophrenia?
At least you
and
didn't
I'm not,
get like.
You know what? Like, good for you if you have schizophrenia and you're getting treatment. But yes. I don't have that. And Facebook, they know a lot about you by your by your behavior and everything. And like, they know something I don't know.
So why do I have edema? I mean, I love my dog, but maybe I should get compression socks.
Is it because you're on Facebook too much and they're like, this woman doesn't move. She must have like swelling.
Like she has blood pooling
in her cankles. Let's get her some socks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be weird after this, but I welcome
it's
it.
It's
going to
be weird.
Bring it on,
so,
Facebook.
Okay, wait. So, yes. So, there was a hot, this hot sex scene of Samantha and Jeff, and then it mm-hmm. morphs into a very not hot sex scene of Steve and Miranda and her nipples. And
oh my God, like I like wrote, I was like, I was like, how did you feel about that? I said, were you so grossed out seeing Miranda and Steve having sex? Was it giving you brother and sister energy?
Oh, it was so gross. And like, it's like feeling the breast of... I'm trying to figure... Mary, Mother of God. Mary, Mother of God. No. Like the fertile... Oh. Like the breast was too real. Do you know what I'm saying? Like there's... When you see breasts in... Like, don't they put rouge on them to make them... It was so real. And like...
Like you could see the nipple hairs.
I could see the pore... You know those pores? Mm-hmm. Those chickeny pores? I don't want to see that on anyone. Chicken skin pores?
So no. It was a very intense. Like Steve was from behind, yeah, and he was cupping her boob. Like they go there. Like they wouldn't have had an intimacy Meredith coordinator.
They wouldn't Miranda. Have had
an do not call her Meredith. Her name is
First of all, I call you I switch you and Miranda around so much. It is bad.
Yeah.
And I also last episode said that the world really changed in 2020. I meant 2021. 2001, not 2021, 2001. Yeah. And I was referring to you know what.
Well, I talked about
a lot of mistakes.
A erotic thriller with Reese Witherspoon, and I meant Renee Zellweger.
And I was agreeing with you the whole time, but I didn't know what you were talking about.
You did not. So I was were on board you. With me, though.
Yeah, I was bullshitting in a big way.
I could tell. Politics. Oh, wait, I've one more outfit that I loved that I've actually tried to recreate. So when Carrie's at Charlotte's leftovers party, she's wearing this black vest and underneath she's wearing a copper silk blouse, sleeveless copper silk blouse.
Who's Charlotte's?
At Charlotte's party, Carrie's wearing.
Oh, it's Carrie like a black, was wearing. Oh, yeah, black, yeah.
Like dress vest. It's such a good look.
Why did Stanford even make it on this episode? Why was he even
it
there?
It was weird. I don't know. I think it was just, yeah. It was like a season three. Carrie has friends, so we're not missing out on
who the cast is.
Exactly, and they had some weird, gay references. Like the gay jokes were really weird. Yeah. Like they made a joke about how Bill Kelly is not worried about the gay vote in Chelsea because he has a nice ass.
Oh yeah,
remember that?
Who else commented on like nice ass? Like when they were walking away, what was that?
Oh, that was Miranda. Because remember, she does a pros and cons list. Miranda said a pros and cons list,
which is so demeaning, too.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever never made one? You've never made a pros and cons list about a guy? Not even high school? Never?
Yeah, I must have. I didn't have any guys in my life. I must have. I've made a lot of pros and cons lists because it does help. It does help you see things in a quantitative way. It can be good. And then you can see which one you're trying to amp up because it's what you really want. Okay. Cute butt, Steve. I don't know. When he was walking away, it wasn't true. I didn't see it.
I'm just so weirded out by the brother-sister energy that now I can't unsee that.
And then there was another scene where that Asian woman is in. She's in about 10 episodes with different characters. And... She's in the opening credits. This is a conspiracy theory that I'm presenting to you. What I've said Asian it so many times. Woman? She's in the opening credits, isn't she? And then she was in the scene where she was like at this fundraising party.
Okay.
And no lines. She's never had a line.
They probably repurpose.
But she's been repurposed extras. Many times. And I think she's the same woman who, remember when Brady's umbilical cord falls out and the cat gets it and she's like shocked, the nanny?
But that's the nanny. That's like she actually has a part in it though. She's not an extra. But you think it's the same person?
I think it's the same person. She built up to that. They're like, well, you know what? You've been in so many scenes, you can have a featured role.
We've had Justin Theroux on it, so.
Yeah. Okay, so that's besides it. The point, but I just want to make that.
You're just gonna note it.
What?
So the big thing is that Bill Kelly says,
oh, yes,
you're so funny. I've never felt so intimate with someone. Am I doing everything that you want in bed? And Carrie's like, yeah. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I like it too. He's like, well, there's one thing. How about you and I want to get all fresh, get in the shower and get all fresh and clean. And then I want you to pee on me.
That is unacceptable, Bill. Unacceptable.
And then Samantha said that she peed on someone during sex by accident, but he didn't even notice.
Yeah, I know. Like,
what?
That's very disturbing. But that is not the type of thing where you're like, you should pee on me one day. I think it's an opportunity. I think you're in the shower together and you're like, pee on me. We're in the shower. Like, it's a you're way right. that, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a conversation you should talk about beforehand. It should be in pretty bed. Spontaneous.
Yeah, fair. But it's so tame. Like, who cares? You know, did you find it alarming? Who cares?
I think that Carrie is a real, really big prude.
Yeah, she is. It's confirming it in
what we knew for just like that. Yeah. Like, she really doesn't do anything. She's pretty missionary. Like, she's not, you know.
Yeah,
she's not crazy. She's more into, like, her Sex in the City is about relationships, not sex.
Yeah.
It's about dynamics, not sex.
Because she's so freaked out by this.
She is really freaked out. And she comes in and has like, you know, like maybe one day I'm going to let you like watch me pee. I don't know, probably not. And like,
yeah. But she said, but maybe you could close your eyes and I could dribble warm tea on you.
Maybe we could play the sounds of water running while we're having sex. Maybe.
I think it's sweet that she makes an effort. She doesn't shut it down, which I thought was good. I appreciated that.
I didn't care about this conversation. I was looking in her bathroom trying to figure out what the products were because I am obsessed with seeing what were the 90s in things to have in your bathroom.
Yes. Yeah.
That is a chic bathroom. I noticed Kiehl's again. Uh-huh. She has a lot of Kiehl's. That was very big in the 90s. That was the it new big brand. Like Kiehl's was everything. It's still good. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of Kiehl's.
It is good. Yeah.
I noticed Pears soap, Pears, like the yellow Pears. Soap bar. And I think it's very chic to have on a tray. That color I love is Pears. Gorgeous.
Yeah, my grandma had Pears.
Like, Pears I can for think soap of brows. That.
It's like I'm having scent memory right now.
It's a beautiful scent. It's kind of like a little spicy. Just a pure soap scent. I didn't notice, I didn't know some of the brand labels, so I'd have to kind of like figure it out. But I love that. That's all I was doing. I didn't care about the scene.
I just thought it was so funny that she said she'd dribble warm pee on him. Yeah. Warm tea, a cup of warm tea. That I thought that was funny. Yeah, I didn't care. Like, I didn't really care.
That's like Marilla, what Marilla would say to someone like in Anna Green Gables, like for sex. Like, shall I pour this warm tea up and down your leg? Yep.
And stuff this crumpet up your butthole?
Like, I will not stick my pinky up your butthole, but perhaps I could bake a scone, crumpet. A ladyfinger crumpet, and stick that up your bum.
Not my lady's finger, but our lady's finger.
But one with cinnamon, would that sting?
It would probably dissolve.
Would that fall apart up there? What would you do?
What would you do? So that happened.
And then
Samantha dates that short guy. He shames her.
Then he freaks. What? Yeah, the short guy. She kind of is like, sees his blazer. They have a hilarious blowout.
And then,
Bill shames her. He's like, you know what?
Yeah.
And I hated this. I hated it. I'm like, fuck you. Bill's like, well, you know what? They say I can't date you because you're a whore.
Yeah, because some of the donors are concerned that your column is seamy. Seamy? Is that a word? Seamy. Yeah.
Seamy. Seamy.
Seamy.
Seamy.
Seamy.
Seedy. Unseemly. Unseemly. Seedy.
I know you think he'd say seedy, but he said seamy. Seamy. I'm going to Google that.
Do it.
Seamy. Seamy.
Another long pause.
Sordid and disreputable. A seamy sex scandal.
I'm surprised I've never been called that.
I don't think I've ever worked.
Never used it. Maybe we should.
Like
seamy.
Seamier.
Should we have a word of the day?
Yeah. I feel like I've used the word seamier, but I don't think I've
unseemly.
Used the word seamy. Unseemly, but this is S-E-A-M-Y.
Oh, seamy.
Sordid, disreputable, seedy, sleazy, corrupt, shameful.
Okay, seedy and seamy. And she's like, oh, okay. Well, that's strange. And gets her perfect revenge of writing a political exposé.
So she writes about him. She doesn't use any names, but yeah, the she's been photographed headline of with her him. Column. Yeah. It's all called over. To Pee or Not to Pee.
Very good.
Yep.
Very good way so to use your it. Power. Carrie, you know what? Oh, side note. You know what was really funny? That fundraiser, that damn fundraiser everyone had to go to, only raised $6,000.
I know.
I was like, oh, the trail is long.
Like, it probably costs that much to cater it.
Yeah, like the flowers alone. Oh, boy. Well, okay, so I'm convinced now that this doesn't deserve a high spot. So, yeah, I think wherever it landed, what was it, 40-something?
You know, 66th.
66. Middling. Less than middling.
That's like lowest third.
You know what? I would give this a lot higher just because of the fashion. I thought the fashion was good and it was looked really good.
The and fashion was here for. Compared to episode one, the fashion was on point. It was beautiful. Yeah. I drank it up with my eyeballs. Yeah, it looked
more modern. Episode one, they were like walking around. Remember Let's Go Out to the Ballpark where they were like all in like sweatsuits and
big and funny sunglasses, funny and eyewear
yeah. and like
yeah.
fur coats, and like it was so bad. This is like really elegant. I feel like we're getting there fashion wise. It's really good.
Yeah, I know. For Charlotte, I still don't really care. I still don't care about Charlotte.
She doesn't get anything until Trey comes along.
Yep, Trey comes, and then she has a pretty good arc.
She has a very good arc.
Like Miranda and Steve, it's Steve Sweet. Like I think they have good chemistry. I don't find him attractive.
No.
But they have very good chemistry.
They have good chemistry. It's a very great storyline. Miranda gets amazing, amazing, amazing content, amazing stuff to do.
Cynthia Nixon goes there in those sections.
She's just like, so fun to watch. It's so fun. This was a very good episode for Kim Cattrall. Very funny. When she turns around just all happy and then sees that Jeff is really disappointed, she's like, oh no. You know, it's just very good. It's like a meme. I don't know. What's the next episode? Can you just look that up?
Yep. Next episode is Attack of the 5'10" Women. And Charlotte gets depressed just by reading all women in the New York Times Sunday edition wedding announcements are younger than our quartet.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I remember she stumbles on Mr. Big's wedding announcement.
That's good. And tells her. That's right. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Oh, you know what was really... Okay, one last footnote. That it really disturbed me. The angle they took. Sorry, what?
And then Miranda... Remember Magda finds her sex toys.
Is that already... We get Magda next episode?
Oh, and then remember Samantha? She books a massage with the guy who says he gives a happy ending.
At the gym. At the club. And then like she's like, why can't I? And she like sexually molests him, basically.
And then that's Lynn a good episode. It's a good episode. Yeah.
That's a good episode. But let me just say, the angle was really off when Samantha was at the bar and Jeff turns around and he and the narration was like, and of all the beautiful women, Samantha was so happy that he chose her.
I know. I know.
They didn't even know they were doing that. They didn't even know that was a wrong way to approach that scene.
I know. There's some doozies coming up because after that one, it's the one where, remember, Carrie dates the bisexual guy when Alanis Morissette's in it. Yeah, it's coming.
That's the one of the low points.
It's
one of the worst. Yeah. So okay, there's some doozies. There's some hills to climb.
It's coming. It's coming. Maybe. Yeah. We'll talk about it though. Don't you worry.
Oh, we're gonna get into it. And even for this, boy, did we ever talk longer than we thought we would for this episode. So should we pack it in? It's the holidays. Yeah. Oh, no, we're going to have one more episode. We're going to have, like, basically a Christmas Day episode.
We're going to have a Christmas Day episode, but tell me, if you could watch one episode of Sex and the City, like, what is your comfort watch episode of Sex and the City?
Oh, my God. Should we pull it and do it as a Christmas special?
Yeah. So the one episode that, like, you're cozy, you're inside, you have your snacks. It's, like, the perfect holiday. And Sex and the City doesn't do holidays. So
no, there's no holiday mention. There's no religion. There's no parents.
Yeah.
There's
no parents, no religion, no parents. Nothing. Yeah. They don't exist outside of... Okay,
we're
going to
propose that. Yeah. And you guys will choose. Our listeners, our dear listeners are going to choose... the cozy episode for a Christmas special.
Cozy Christmas introvert Sex in the City episode.
Oh, that gives me, that just warms the cockles of my heart.
The crick, the deep cricks of your lady finger.
The cockles of my cock.
You're short and hung, right? You're not beefy and petite.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's my profile. Short and hung, ready to... hang. Okay.
Well, bye, everyone. Y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.